Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin. It's Sunday morning, as what feels like always, we're here, and it's about 9 o'clock UK time, and we are gathered for this ongoing conversation about what life is, and we're very, very, very happy to have you with us today. We are going to talk about a source by the wonderful, a poem called When We Meet by the wonderful Emma Ashrew Jones, which Justin has brought this source, and Emma is a very wonderful friend of Third Space, and it's quite a delight for me to know that her voice is going to be in this with us. I'm really excited. Before we get to that, we wanted to let you know that on the 18th of April, from 2 until 5 p.m. UK time, we are going to be turning towards life in a kind of live community way. And so we wanted to make that invitation to you. If you're listening now, it's April 2020. Oh no, 2021. April 2021. And we are going to be meeting. It's a Sunday. And we're going to be meeting to talk about and to be in this practice that we have in Turning Towards Life of working with sources and learning from each other in unrehearsed conversations. And we're going to be learning about what we're calling healthy power. So how to be in powerful relationships and to also work with how we wield our own power, how we work with our own power, whether it's positional or another kind of power. We have some really wonderful sources to bring to you, and we think that some beautiful conversations might emerge from in the space. So we wanted to offer our first kind of live event, if you like, that transfers this practice that Justin and I have into the community, into the people, all of you who come and join in the conversation with us. So if you want to look into that, to have a read, see what it's about, and maybe join us, the link that you can go to is www.turningtowards.life, and on the homepage, just scroll down slightly and there's a link there that says about the live online event, and you can book your place. We've put it right on in the middle so that you can hopefully find it very easily. So we'd love to meet you, we'd love to be with you for some time. It's a 3-hour window of possibility for us to be in conversation with each other in a more immediate way than in this way. So we'd love you to join us. And so for now, Justin, I'm going to hand over to you to begin with this source by the lovely Emma Ashrew Jones.
I probably thought it was worth saying, I feel so excited about our live gathering, Lizzie, as you're talking about it. Sort of each time we talk about it, it takes on new depth. I should say to everyone, we won't be streaming it live on Facebook, just in case, or anywhere. It'll be an event just for those of us who turn up, a chance to do this together in community. Yeah. So I want to thank Emma for writing this piece, and also for so generously giving us permission to read it here and to talk about it and be moved by it here. It's such a gift, Emma, that your work is with us. Thank you. And as always, if you're listening and you haven't seen the source, or you want to find it so that you can read it, it's on our Facebook group, which is open to everyone to join. You can just search for turningtowards.life. And then after, when we post the recordings of these conversations, you can find it on turningtowards.life, and you can find it on our YouTube group, and you can find it also in the text that goes with every podcast episode. We always post the text there. And this is called When We Meet by Emma Ashrew Jones. When we meet, I don't just want to meet your perfectly polished self, the productive, capable, holding it all together, extraordinaire. I want to meet you. I want to meet your middle of the night fears and the whispers of your longings. I want to meet your heart and to hear what she has to say. I want to meet your wildest desires and the dreams so tender they dare not be declared. I want to greet your despair at the door and welcome her in from the cold and offer your confusion a cushion to lean back into. I want to welcome your body that has carried you this far, to give her a place to rest and be recognized, wise one that she is. I want to listen to the part of you that is beyond language, and to give your imagination a paintbrush and let her play. I want you to meet your whole self anew and to see the truth, that you never needed to be fixed, that your life was never a problem to be solved, but a moment to be met.
When we meet. When we meet, I don't just want to meet your perfectly polished self, the productive, capable, holding it all together extraordinaire. I want to meet you. I want to meet your middle of the night fears and the whispers of your longings. I want to meet your heart and to hear what she has to say. I want to meet your wildest desires and the dreams so tender they dare not be declared. I want to greet your despair at the door and welcome her in from the cold and offer your confusion a cushion to lean back into. I want to welcome your body that has carried you this far, to give her a place to rest and be recognized, wise one that she is. I want to listen to the part of you that is beyond language and to give your imagination a paintbrush and let her play. I want you to meet your whole self anew and to see the truth, that you never needed to be fixed, that your life was never a problem to be solved, but a moment to be met.
One of the reasons that I, when I saw this, Lizzie, that I wanted to bring it so quickly into our orbit was feeling my own longing for this. Like how rarely, so I can feel my longing in a couple of dimensions. One is just feeling how rarely this is the story that we humans in our culture in this time in history have about one another. We've been so steeped in the narrative of productivity and performance and commercial exchange, and that to meet someone in the way that Emma's inviting us to meet someone, with only the light to be in one another's presence, with wonder at the mystery of another human being here, with appreciation for the beauty and the suffering that comes with every person, and to not be conditional about it, is so unusual. And it's unusual as the one being welcomed. And I can, every time I read this, and when I heard you read this, I can feel my longing, just how much I long, even though I have places where I get met like this, of course, here being one of them, this conversation being one of them, how much I long for this, and how much I think so many of us long for this wide and deep welcome that will leave nothing out. So that is very moving and powerful. The other thing I can feel in it that I think also particularly had me want to bring this into this conversation is how difficult it can be for us to learn how to welcome one another this way. Mm-hmm. Like it there's so much in it that calls to us. And then as I read Emma's words, I get onto, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to stop wanting something very particular for myself from my welcome from you. I'm going to have to work with all of my fears that I won't know what to do or I won't know what to say if you really let me meet you in this way. And I think that we're carrying, many of us, a huge degree of collective trauma because of how unusual it is to be met like this. And it's something very sort of like ground level, base level about us humans that needs this and that really benefits from this. And because we don't even meet ourselves this way very often, Partly why this is so inviting is because it's so hard for us to meet ourselves this way. Do you know the line that really got me this time when you were reading it was, I want to welcome your body that has carried you this far. And to give her, I know when Emma talks about this poem, she talks about the gender of the language. It could be her or him. We'll read it the way that she's written it, to give her a place to rest and be recognized, wise one that she is. You know, to really let ourselves feel that the bodies that we both have and live through is what has carried us and are filled with wisdom, to let us feel that rather than I have to beat you into shape, I have to judge you for not being exactly the way I want you to look or to move, and all of the unkindnesses that we get into. Even just that pair of lines in the middle of this big invitation keep on pointing out to me how little of this most of us do most of the time for ourselves, let alone for one another, even though we long for it so much, we need it so much.
It feels really such a gift to be in receipt of this and your reflection right now as a kind of way of speaking about what receiving one another is. And I really appreciate the space that this creates in me, this poem, this, so what happens to me, I get this kind of visual of what's in front of us here. It's like we somehow have been taught that the front of things is all that exists, the surface of things. And I'm feeling a really big invitation to look beneath and look behind and look beyond, and to feel into the world beyond the surface, beyond what's immediately apparent to our kind of shallow vision, you know, the kind of the near depth vision that we have. And that there's a way of looking into the depths of us, into the depths of one another, and to also be very, very curious about the mystery of what on earth that is. I feel like this poem plunges me into a space of really, really trusting that I don't know, and that from a place of not knowing, something really different emerges about what I could learn about you, what I could learn about myself. So I'm taking this as an invitation to kind of question all the things that I'm certain about, and to throw it all up in the air and wonder what's here if I say, okay, I'm certain about that, and there's loads more else that I could, loads of other ways I could see here, loads of other things to inquire into. And I was really also affected, Justin, when you said, you know, I think we're in some kind of collective trauma that we're not doing this for each other and ourselves, because this is also really humane. This is really kind. This is really appropriate behavior for humans to engage in, given the kind of beings that we are, with soft hearts and sensitivities and difficulties in our backgrounds and untold suffering that we hide away from the world because of who we are and what we've become in our cultural narratives about what's acceptable to show other people in our social constructs and social rules that we've all built together. And so I'm so moved by the courageous kind of countercultural invitation that this is, which is we don't have to toe the line of all of the social ways that we've been told we have to be together, where we stay at this level of conversation, we only talk about this and we only talk about that, but that we could be going around with this in our hearts and letting this be the way that we meet people, letting this be the way that we converse, letting this be the way that we hold each other and inquire into each other's lives. And I really, really appreciate the end of the poem about that we never needed to be fixed. I think it's fair to say that none of us enjoy that very much when people try and fix us. And I know I try and fix people myself all the time, and I know that it doesn't go down well. Inherent in "you need to be fixed" is that you're a problem, which is the next line that Emma says, which is that your life was never a problem to be solved. And it's not that we tell people that they're a problem. I mean, maybe sometimes we do, but we do something even stronger than that, which is that we speak in it, and implied in what we say is that they're a problem. So if I say, "Oh, well, you need to do this, you need to be like this, and it will be okay if you do this," the implication of that is that what is right now, or what has been before, is a problem. And it kind of negates so much in one hit when we try to fix. And so I think it points to this incredible way that we've become in our culture of treating each other like we're some kind of machinery, and that we're engineers, and that we're all engineering each other into becoming something better. And it's really unwise, actually. Like, it doesn't produce much. It doesn't inspire anything different, really. It just keeps the narrative going that, oh yeah, well, I'm a problem and someone's trying to fix me, so therefore I must still be a problem. And then when we encounter someone who's not trying to fix us, the implicit invitation in that is to think of ourselves not as problems. And then what are we? Oh, if I'm not a problem to be fixed, what am I? And so I feel really thrown into that inquiry as well, of just how much we're kind of, I don't know what the word is, but kind of programmed to fix and change things rather than to be with, and to inquire in this mysterious, beautiful way that Emma's inviting us into.
Yeah, programmed. I'm just enjoying the sunlight just coming in here, and I'm sitting in this glorious light. Programmed, Lizzie, programmed by the culture that we're in. That's the thing that in what you're saying that is so strong to me, that Emma's words, like you say, are really deeply countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome, at least for me, welcome because of that. That I've just been reading, and maybe we'll bring something from this back in a future time. We brought before Kay Tempest's book on connection. And the part that I've been reading is really relevant to what Emma's writing, where Kay says, we hardly get that we are shaped by the narratives of the culture that we live in, and it shapes everything that we take to be the case about ourselves and other people. So when you said before, you know, we really need this, really, this is what we're made for. And Kay points out that we still live right now, we live in this predominant narrative that humans are out there to dominate one another, and to be, you know, like to be hunter-gatherers, and to go and kill the enemies and amass the resources and climb to the top of the pile and everything. And Kay points out that that's really just one story of what being a person is. And there are equally good stories, which if you're interested in sort of historical roots and paleontological roots of humans, have equally solid grounding, like how about humans are made to take care of one another? How about humans are made to wonder one another? How about humans are made to love one another and to flourish because of the tender care that we bring to one another, rather than the domination that we bring to one another? And the sort of the domination culture that we live in is the same one that leads us to treat ourselves and other people as problems to be fixed, because there's always a danger. There's always something that I have to be vigilant about and wary about. And it's not that there aren't dangers, and it's not that there aren't things to be vigilant and wary about. Of course they are. There are. But when the narrative colonizes everything, when it infiltrates everything, including how we'll be with our friends, with our family members, with our colleagues in whatever work that we do, when the narrative of danger and I'm unsafe, and if I get to know you really, really deeply, and if I welcome you, something terrible will happen. Has penetrated all of our pores and all of our institutions and our families. And I was remembering whilst you were talking, being in my early 20s in my first job, and sitting one day at the start of a working day reading something about the field I was in, because I was really, really interested in it, and the person who was the boss of the company coming and reprimanding me for what was going on, I don't know, not working hard enough or something. Feeling, and I'm talking about it now, I'm about to turn 51, so it's 30 years ago, and I can still feel that moment of, here I was in the situation, kind of tender and interested and open and ready to contribute and to be involved in something, and sort of getting a metaphorical slap around the face for not at that moment in time being the productive one who would see off the dangers of non-productivity or something. And how much there's still a part of me that feels hurt, actually, as I'm talking about it, that longed for him to say, hey, Justin, what are you up to? I'm interested. Talk to me. Let me know you. And that's just one of thousands of tens and thousands of interactions, you know, in my own life, and that we've all had every moment that somebody won't. Like, the thing about Emma's words is there's a way in which they sound so radical, right? Because they're so on the outside of how most of us get welcomed.
Yeah.
But actually, I just think that they're really, really necessary.
Yeah.
And that's the oddness of it. It's like ground level necessariness is that people welcome us like this, and that the islands. And in order to, what I'm wondering as I'm speaking is what we have to do, what it helps to do, so that without waiting for other people to welcome us this way, because we can never have anybody else, we never make anybody else do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even trying to make someone else do this would be counter to the what it takes in ourselves to begin to be the welcomer in the way that Emma is asking for, and also, of course, to find other people who will welcome us, because there are, and to be the welcomer means, this is what's been striking me over the last couple of days whilst Emma's words have been moving around inside me. It takes the bigger something that we are, that was a kind of welcome even when we arrived, to start welcoming the parts of us, parts of ourselves, even as we begin to welcome the parts of others, the parts of ourselves that don't feel held yet and don't feel welcomed yet. It really helps if we can start to practice that with ourselves, so that when we're with other people, we can welcome all the parts of them that they're not welcoming, and we've got some practice going on with being self-welcome. And that's the kind of thing that's emerging for me as we're talking.
I was just realizing when you were speaking, Justin, that each time you talk about a piece of Emma's work, this each line, I find myself going, oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Like it's such a, in a way, it ignites all my neediness. Like around how I'd like to be held in the world and what I need. And it's such a lovely feeling to read it and to hear you reflect on it and realize how meeting it is in itself. And when you were talking about how do we become this? How do we become this kind of welcome? How do we have a way of being in the world that's a welcome? In this way that Emma's saying. And I've been really wondering in these recent days about this relationship between giving and receiving. And it seems to me that one of the important aspects of this too is to recognize that to give is to receive, and that there's no time difference between those things. Like as I'm welcoming, I'm being welcomed. So it's one of those practices that I might look like I'm welcoming you, but I'm actually welcoming myself at the same time. And we're both in it. And I think that's part of the magic of this poem for me, is that if I get up to this as a practice, in a way, I can just experiment with doing it. And in the doing of it, it's possible that I could be being welcomed as I do it for another. It kind of looks like that's what's happening. But as a practice, it's another expression of our non-separateness for me. So in my welcoming of you, simultaneously at the same moment, in the same process, I'm welcoming myself. I think that's what's going on between humans, which is why it's so important, because if we are up to this as an intention with others, we can't help but be up to it with ourselves. Because there's a way that this is what we're born for, this is what we're made for, this is like aligned with the beingness, the nature of us. So, of course, to do it is to receive ourselves, to receive our lives. And we might think that we'd be doing it for the person that we're welcoming, for the person that comes to the door. And yes, we are. And that's not the end of the story. So I can feel this really strong part of me that says, in response to your question, you know, what is it that we can do to become beings like this? First of all, we're already beings that are this. Like that is, it's our nature to be this way. And to become like this, given all of our distortions that we've talked about and all the ways that we get taught to not be like this, if we experiment with doing this, being this, acting this way, behaving this way, languaging ourselves this way, we're experimenting with what we most want to receive for ourselves, which is really cool, because it means I don't need you to do this for me, because my doing it for you and for me, if I can really feel into the simultaneity of the giving and the receiving, it's in a way, all I have to do is get myself in front of some humans. Like just put myself in the way of life and bring this poem with me in my heart, and wherever I am, I can begin experimenting with what it means to listen to the part of you that's beyond language. I can ask myself that question at breakfast or in the shop or in the street. What might it be to listen beyond language to this person right now? And just asking that question and learning to reflect in that way. Take one line a day and live for the many, however many days there are lines in the poem, and see what it is to practice each one of those lines. It just feels so accessible and doable, and I'm really kind of taken by it as a list of practices in a way.
Such a wonderful place for us. There's so much more to say, and I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie, because I learn so much every time we talk. Your way of seeing the simultan, I can't even say it, and you said it so beautifully, the simultaneity of giving and receiving. This last point that you make, I think it's a wonderful place for us to end, is that one way of relating to Emma's work is to take every line as a practice. So starting with, what if it is, if we spend a day not just meeting the perfectly polished self that we're all presenting to one another all the time? Can we be the one who sees that in one another, but also knows at the same time how behind every perfectly polished self is a longing to be met, that there's something that we really are that's not perfectly polished?
Yeah.
We live that way for a while. So that's just an excellent practical place to end. So I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie, and thank you to us for doing this, and a really big thank you to Emma. And just to call out that Emma, on her website, if you Google Emma Astrojones, you can find her. There's a video of Emma reading this too, which is wonderful to see. Emma read this in her own work, in her own way, right in front of her website. And thank you to all of you who are with us. If this was your first week or you've been with us for many weeks, and please tell the others who you think would benefit from being in this conversation. We'll so gladly welcome everyone here. And we're going to finish here, and we'll be back again next Sunday, all being well, as usual. We'll see you then.
Bye.